morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chaf Tes. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis at Amar Rav Nachman Zuama de Shimsha. So today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored to mark the second yard site of Mrs. Marsha Fredman, Masha Bas Yitzchak, and in honor of the birth of her namesake, Masha Bas Ilan Moshe HaKohen Vesara Nechama, by Tzippi and Aaron Ross and family. Also by Ilana and Jonathan Silver to commemorate the yard site on Yom Yerushalayim of his brother Baruch Daniel Ben Zev Levi HaKohen, Alav HaShalom. Also by Ken and Marcy Capel in memory of Ken's grandfather, Jacob Capel, whose yard site was yesterday, and his mother Evelyn Capel, whose yard site is tomorrow. And also on behalf of dailygiving.org, which is an incredible organization that enables every Jew to easily perform the mitzvah of tzedakah every day. 100% of the collected money is dispersed daily to different worthy Jewish organizations around the world. The achdus of the project is amazing. I personally joined the other night, and I encourage everybody to do so as well. dailygiving.org, not.com. It takes 30 seconds to join. So we are holding again on the bottom of Daf Chaf Chesam Beis, and we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to talk about six different things, that the reverberations are stronger than the ikar, that that which seems like an outgrowth or something, a watered-down version of something, is actually stronger than the ikar, than the primary. And then that's going to lead us to a short discussion of Esther, and what made Esther compared to an Ayala, and also why Esther is like the Shachar, she's like the morning time. So a couple of comments about Esther and Megillas Esther. And then at the bottom of the page, we're going to discuss how not only if you do shechita at night, would that be a major problem? As we said in the Mishnah, that one time where they got confused between the rays of the moon and the rays of the sun, and therefore they did the shechita too early, so it ruined the whole karban. But malika and kmitza done at night will also pasul if it's done too early, if it's done while it's still nighttime. And if you do kmitza improperly, you can't just redo kmitza in the morning, because the cliche Sharis is able to be Mekadesh Shepalayla enough to passel it. So you can't just go and redo it, because it already has the Kedusha and the Klisharis, the comets that you took already has Kedusha and the Klisharis, and that which remains behind then becomes Shirayim, where you can't do Kemitza again. And then the Gemara is going to talk about what if they arrange the Lechma Panim on the Shulchan on the wrong day. Normally the Halach is Lechma Panim supposed to be arranged on Shabbos. What if they arrange Lechma Panim on Sunday instead of on Shabbos? How do we handle that situation? So let's begin. Again, we're holding on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis at the bottom of the page. Amar Rav Nachman Zuama Dishimsha. So the Gemara was discussing how they confused that one time the sunlight and the moonlight. So the Gemara tells us that in a discussion about the heat of the sun on a cloudy day, because the Gemara told us that the way they were able to make this mistake, even though normally the nature of the light is totally different and you should be able to look at it right away and be able to distinguish between them, is if it was a cloudy day, it's a little more difficult to tell. So once we're talking about cloudy days, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Nachman Zuama Dishimsha, the heat that emanates from the sun on a cloudy day is more intense than the heat of direct sunlight. And the similar davar is dana dechale. If you have a barrel of vinegar that you close it really tightly in order that the strength of the vinegar should stay inside the barrel, and then you make a tiny little puncture, you puncture a tiny little hole in it, so then a very, very strong smell is going to come out, because it's all concentrated by that one hole. So too on a Yom HaMu'unan, on a cloudy day, since the sun is entirely covered and it's blocked off by all of these clouds, it's going to puncture for itself one hole to be able to get through those clouds, and wherever it comes through, it's going to come through very strongly. Similarly, Shavrire Deshimsha, the rays of the sun that could blind the person that comes from in between the clouds, Kashumi Shimsha, are even stronger than the rays of the sun that come in direct sunlight as far as its effect on a person's eyes. And the way to remember that is dilfa, that if you have a leak, So if you immerse your whole body in water, so you don't feel a massive amount of pressure. If you pour a whole bucket of water, you don't feel a massive amount of pressure. But it's when it's more concentrated in a direct line, then the water is going to be with much higher pressure. So now we're going to mention other things where that which is kal lechora is going to be more chamer. That which seems like it should be lighter is in fact going to be more intense. Hirhurei avera kashumei avera. Having hirhure avera, having taivos for women, is even more has more of an impact on one's body than the avera itself. Because if a person builds up the taiva and then never satisfies the taiva, that's the way Rashi explains that it's talking about taivos nashim and it's kashim lahachash b'sor yoser migufa shalmaisa. Kasha doesn't mean it's a worse avera; it means that it's lahachash b'sor, that it causes him greater weakness than actually doing the avera, because he builds up the taiva and then has no outlet for the taiva. The Marsha says, you could also explain this based on the Gemara in Nazir Daf Chav Gimel. The Gemara says, with Lot and his daughters, that they were miskavin l'shem mitzvah, and he was miskavin l'shem avera. And that's why the Pasuk says in Hosea, Yisharim darkei Hashem, tzadikim yelchubam uposhim yukashlubam. That you could have thought that since in the end of the day, there is a mitzvah being done, so with the fact that Lot was having a machshava for avera, that his avera is not going to be such a severe avera as if he had done the avera as if he had done an actual avera. So that's why it says hirhure avera or kashume avera, that the machsheves avera is what's going to cause him to suffer from it. And not only that, even if you're miskaving the dvar avera and you fail, you don't do an avera, you're chayev kapara, because the pasuk says by a woman whose husband was made for her neder, isha aferam v'ashem yislachla, that her husband was made for the neder, but v'ashem yislachla. Well, if her husband was made for the neder, why does her husband need kapara? It's because she didn't know that her husband was made for the neder. So she went and she violated the neder, and still she needs kapara. So if a person intends to eat non-kosher food and by accident it's kosher, the food that he ate is actually kosher, is also chayev kapara, because it's halach achar machshava. So that's Marsha explains that hirhure avera sometimes alone are going to be asur, even if you don't end up doing the avera. That the hirhure avera are the poshim yukashlubam, even if in the end of the day there was no actual avera done. The simanayich, and with the simen to the idea of hirhure avera being even worse in a certain sense than the avera itself, is recha de bisra, the smell of roasted meat. That if someone smells the aroma of roasted meat, he'll develop a strong taiva for it, and if he would eat from it, so then he would be satisfied. But since he only smells from it, he has the taiva just builds up inside of him. So the same is true with taiva's nashim, that the taiva is worse for the taiva is worse than the maisa itself on a certain level. In the Orchos Chaim, Rav Ard Milanil brings the Rash that explains this a little bit differently. That it's not that the hirhurim are worse than the avera, it's that it's harder to do tshuva from hirhure avera. Meaning the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that there are cheftal dvarim hamaakv mesachuva. There's a whole parak of Hilchos Tshuva dedicated to the 24 things for which a person can't do tshuva or won't do tshuva. And one of those things is hirhure avera, because a person thinks, oh, what's the big deal? I just had hirhurim. I didn't actually do anything. So I didn't actually, there was no maisa. I didn't harm anybody. So they're going to think that it's not really something that they need to do tshuva from. So it's not that it's a worse avera, it's that it's an avera that's more likely to stick, because when a person does a cheshbon nefesh, they're going to think about their actions. They're going to be mefashvesh b'ma'asav. They're going to think about what they've done. And when they think about what they've done, they're going to come up with all their averas, and they're going to do tshuva on all their averas. But if it's hirhure avera, person's not even going to be goreis it. They're not even going to think that it means anything. So if they're less likely to do tshuva, in that sense, it's kasha me'a. In that sense, it's even worse than the avera itself. Okay, says the Gemara further. Shili dekaita kasha mikaita. The heat at the end of the summer in Chodesh Elul is more intense in a certain level than the heat in Chodesh Tammuz in the heart of the summer when it's really hot. V'simenayich tanura shagira. And the similar davar is if you have an oven that's been heated up already a few times that day. So then when you need to heat it up again, it heats up very quickly. You don't need as much fire wood to heat it up again, because there's still residual heat that's trapped in the walls. You don't have to heat up the oven from scratch. So too, the air in the end of the summer already has heat in it, and therefore it can get hot very quickly at the end of the summer, much more so than at the beginning of the summer. Ishta desitva kashami dekaita. A fever that a person has during the winter time is a more intense fever than the kind of fever that he has during the summertime. V'simanayich, and the simon to remember that is tanura karira. If you have a cold oven that was not heated up, so you need a lot of firewood in order to heat it up. So too, if everything is cold, it's cold outside, your body is cold, everything, and then you get a fever, that means that must be an intense fever. If your body was heated up during the winter time, it must mean that it was pretty intense to go against the entire atmosphere. Whereas in the summertime, where everything is so hot, so for the fact that if your body got heated up, it was it's more natural that it would have gotten heated up in the summertime. It doesn't take as intense of a fever. And in that sense, the ishta desitva, the fever of a wintertime, is a more intense fever than that of the summertime. Migmar ba'atikta, if a person learns something old, something that he had already learned previously, and then forgot, kashamichadita. It's more challenging to learn such things than to learn brand new material, which is counterintuitive. You would think that learning brand new material is going to be harder, because something that he learned already, he just has to jog his memory, and then he'll be okay, then he'll get it. No, it's harder to learn things that you've learned already than it is to learn from scratch. V'simanayach tina bartina. And the simon is tina bartina, that if you have cement that you make from cement that already exists, that was already made once, so you take it from an old house, it's much harder to remix the old cement than to make new cement where you can start from scratch. If you remodel a house, it's much, much easier to start from scratch than to work with what you already have and just try to retrofit and try to make everything work. So if you have old Torah knowledge that you've forgotten, it's much harder to rework it. The Mitzvah Eliyahu, Rav Dessler points out that the reason is because when you learn something new, since you know that you don't know it, you're willing to put a lot more work into it. You're ready to put a lot of work into it because your mindset is that I don't know it yet, so I need to work on this. But when it's something that you know that you once knew, you think, I'll just take it. You're not going to have any amelus. You're going to think, I'll just take a look and it will just come back to me. But it's not. It's not. The Torah always requires a sense of amelus. It always requires a sense of work. So a person's not going to have the mindset of working hard. He's going to think that he could just take a quick glance at it, so it's not going to come back to him so easily. Ben Yoyada explains that a lot of times a person learns something and they take notes for themselves. They'll write something down in order to remember it. But when you're writing something in shorthand, when you're in it, when you know it, you'll often write it away. Yeah, I'll understand what that means. You know, I could understand what I, because you have most of it is in your head, so you think you just need, and then you look back at it years later, and you're like, what on earth is this talking about? So you can spend more time trying to figure out what you meant than it would take to just figure out the sugya again. So if it was something new, then you would just be able to learn it. But since it's something old, then you're spending all your time trying to reconstruct what you actually meant. They say that when Rav Soloveitchik would say shir, he said shir on many mesechtos many times, because you're teaching the yeshiva long enough, and things are going to come around. So each time it was like it was brand new. So, as if he never said any of the chidushim that he had said the previous time. Every time he was able to approach the sugya brand new. In a certain sense, that's easier. He doesn't have to fit everything into all of the chidushim that he had said previously. Why did I think that? What was going through my head? Why? No, just learn it brand new. Learn it as if you've never seen it before, and then you'll be able to look at it in a more honest way. So in that sense, migmar ba'atiktos kasha b'chadita, that it's more difficult to learn old material than it is to learn new material. The trick is to keep everything new, to keep everything fresh. Not so easy to do that. If a person chazers a lot, so then there's never old material. That's what I think someone once commented, that the Rav Chaver didn't have such a great memory. He just always just learned it. It was always he chazered so much. He was always relearning all of Shas. So it was always brand new. It was always fresh in his mind. So it wasn't that he was remembering from years ago. Am Rabbi Yavo, my time at the Rebbe, What's the reason? Going back to our discussion, we said back in yesterday's daf about the sunlight. So my time with Rebbe, why does Rebbe say that the sunlight scatters all over the place? Because the pasuk says lam natzeach al ayelas hashachar mizmal l'David. So what's the lashon of ayelas hashachar? That the shachar, the rays of sun in the morning, are like an ayala. Ma ayala zu karna mafzilos, just like the lekan lekan, just like the ayala. Its horns are layered and they go out in different directions. So av shachar zeh mafzil lekan lekan. So too the shachar, the rays of light in the morning, spread out throughout the entire sky. So that's the reason why Rebbe assumed that's what happens in the with the morning light because of that pasuk. The pasuk compares the morning light to an ayala. It's a little bit of an unusual question though. The Achronim point out, what do you mean? What's the reason for Rebbe? It's a matter of Metzius, that when there's the morning rays of light, that's the way it appears. It appears as if it's scattering all over the place. My time with Rebbe, don't ask Rebbe, he's not the one that made it. Ask the Ribbono Shalom, why the Ribbono Shalom made the light in that way. So in the Sefer Siach Yitzchak, he says that certainly after the Shachar is already nearer, after it's already very evident, everyone knows that that's the nature of that light, because the Arachama is a very great light, and its light spreads throughout all of the parts of the sky. But we're talking about a particular time in the very early morning hours, at the beginning of Amar HaShachar, which is the border between Laila and Yom. And since the Or is so faint at that time, you don't really see that Or. So there would have been room to say that during that time, the Or does not disperse. So that's Rebbe's Mechadesh, that even at that very early stage of early morning, the Or disperses. And that's what we're asking. How do you know? You don't see it anyway. So whatever tiny, faint amount of Or there is, how do you know that the nature of that Or at that early hour is that it disperses? So that's what he quotes the pasuk of the Natzeach al Ayelas HaShachar, that the Shachar refers to that very early faint amount of Or. So the Yad David just raises the question. He says that if the Or is nicker, so then it's nicker. You can see that it's dispersed. And if it's not nicker la'ayin, what does it help to have the simon that Rebbe has? Meaning it doesn't make a difference anyway. So he explains, based on Rashi and Moed Katan, that it could be that my taima doesn't mean what's the reason. It means le'eze inyan do we need to know this for? That it's not about the source of it or the reason for it. So over here, we need Rebbe to know the Zman of Alos HaShachar. So the Gemara is explaining, what else can we derive from it? So we're saying, oh, you know what else we could derive from Rebbe's teaching? What the Pasuk means when it says, Lam Natzeach al Ayelas HaShachar, why it is that the Shachar is compared to an Ayelas. So not only is Rebbe teaching us something about the Zmanei Hayom, Rebbe's also teaching me something. My Taima means, Le'eze Inyan, can I learn? Where can I apply this elsewhere in Torah? Kachi Darka Shel Torah, when you have a Chiddush in Torah, it often applies not only in this one place. You try to see how the principles work to explain other things and how they apply all over the place. As Rav Shachter named his third sefer Ginas Egos, because there's a medrash that says, like a gal shel egozim, that if you have a whole bunch of a pile of nuts and you pull one out from the bottom, so everything comes tumbling down, because every principle that you come up with in one sugya is going to impact all the sugyas. It's going to impact all over the place. So here, my time means, it doesn't mean what's the reason for my time, it means what impact does this have elsewhere in learning. So you say, oh, if you learn the Pasuk in Tehillim, it has an impact on that Pasuk in Tehillim of how to understand Ayelas HaShachar. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Lamanim Shla Esther La'ayala. Once we're talking about an Ayala, so why is it that in that Mizmar, Esther is compared to an Ayala? Who says that we're talking about Esther at all in that Mizmar? The Mizmar is Tehillim Chaf Beis. So the Gemara Megillah and Daf Tesvav and Beis tells us that when Esther wanted to approach Achashverosh about getting rid of the Gezerah of Haman HaRasha, so she got to the Beis HaTzlamim and she got to the house of idolatry where that he had set up, and the Shechina abandoned her, and she said, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani, that pasuk in that chapter in Tehillim, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani, was expressed by Esther. So the Lam Natzeach, HaLayelas HaShachar, is a reference to Esther, who's going through Esther's experience. So why is it that Esther is compared to of an ayala. Lomelcha ma ayala rach matzar v'chaviv al bayla kol shav v'shar k'shar rishona. Just like an ayala has a narrow womb, and each time she's like a basula, so every time she's beloved to her husband like it's the first time. So if Esther is chaviv al achasherish kol shav v'shar k'shar rishona, Esther also always had that sense of freshness in the eyes of Achashverosh, that it was always like the first time. So the Chassam Sofer explains that this is a mashal about Am Yisrael also, that the Ayala has a very narrow rechem, and at the time that it has to give birth, the rechem is not wide enough to allow it to give birth. So Hashem makes it that there's a particular nachash that runs into the Ayala at that time and bites it on the rechem, and that's how the vlad is able to come out. That's the sugya in Babasu Daf Tzayin and Beis, when the Gemara goes through the Iyov Agarita, where the Gemara says that Iyov accused the Ribbono Shel Olam that maybe you've gotten confused between Iyov and Oyev. Maybe you thought of me, that you thought that I'm an enemy of yours, and you just messed up the letters. Iyov, and it was a typo in your notes, and that's why you're taking out your wrath on me. So the response is, do you know how I run the world? Do you know what the precision with which the world has to run in order for things to work? You think I'd mess up an Iyov and an Oyev? Meaning, one of the examples of the precision with which the world runs is this Ayala. The Ayala has to give birth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pumped at that moment when the Ayala is in labor, that's when the snake comes and bites it in its rechem, so that the rechem expands, so that it's able to give birth. So the Chassam Sofer writes that the Ayala might think that this is a very bad thing, that it requires, and it is bad that it requires the bite of the snake, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, it's a davar tov. Because of that, it has such a narrow rechem, it has this special relationship with its husband that it's kishar rishona at all times. So even though the Ayala might think that it's unfortunate that it requires the aid of the nachash to give birth, it turns out that it's actually fortunate for her life in general in terms of her connection to her husband. So same is true with Am Yisrael, says the Chassam Sofer, that if we don't do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a nachash to bite us, like Haman HaRasha who came to bite us, and through that we ultimately do tshuva. So it's bad that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow such things to happen, but there's also a davar tov in that, because by doing tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause a nes for us, and will cause that it's going to create a hischachos in the avas Hashem that we each experience. So the Torah becomes more chavitas, and the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes more chavitas, and that's why we mekabel the Torah mechadash. It became a new kabbalah satorah at the time of Purim. So here in the week of kabbalah satorah became a new kabbalah satorah at the time of Purim, and that's why kabbalah satorah is supposed to be that exact kind of experience where kol shav v'shav it's kishar rishona, that a person is supposed to view each and every day as if he got the Torah anew that day. That's the way the relationship with the Torah is supposed to work. Rabbi Yassi, Lam Limshla Esther the Shachar. Why is Esther compared to the Shachar? Lamal Chama Shachar Sof Kalaila Af Esther Sof Kalanisim. Just like the Shachar is the end of the whole night, so too Esther is the end of all Nisim. The Nes Purim that happened through Esther was the last of the Nisim. So ask the Gemara, last of the Nisim, Vayika Chanukah. What about Chanukah? That's also a Nes, and that came after Purim. So Nitna Likasiv Kamin. No, there are Nisim that happen all the time. Today's Yom Yerushalayim. There were Nisim that happened not that long ago that were like open miracles that were hard to deny. Open miracles that happened, but it wasn't Nitna Likasiv. We don't have a book in Tanakh about those miracles. So that's what it means. Chanukah also is an open miracle that happened on Chanukah. But Nitna Likasiv Kamrinan. Nes Purim is the last Nes that was able to be written al aksav in Megillas Esther. But the Nisim that happened afterwards, you can't write them down. So Hani Chalamandi Amrasa Nitna Likasiv. That works very well if you assume that Megillas Esther was meant to be written down. And so that was so then you could explain that what does it mean it was the last of the Nisim? It was the last of the Nisim that was meant to be written down. Alamandi Amrasa Lonit. But if you hold that Esther was not Nitna Likasev, then what are you going to say? Then what does it mean that Esther was the last of the Nisim? So what does it mean that Esther was not Nitna Likasev? Who says that? Where does that come from? So there's a Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Megillah on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that Esther sent a message to the Chachamim where she requested Kisvuni Lidoros, that she wanted her story written down for generations. And they brought a right that you have to write the Megillah. From the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, K'sov zos zikaron b'sefer, v'sim ba'azne Yeshua, ki macholem che, ez zecher Amalek. That there's something about K'sov zos zikaron b'sefer that relates to Amalek. So from K'sov zos, we learn that you have to write Mechias Amalek at least once in the Torah. Zikaron, we learn that you have to write it a second time in the Torah. But Sefer tells me to write it a third time. So there's Machlokas Tanaim, how to understand what are the three times of Zechiras Amalek. Rabbi Lazar Madai says Ksov Zos is going on what it says in Sefer Shemos and what it says in the Parsha Zachar and Mishnah Torah as well. Zikaron is going on what it says in the Navi in Shmuel Aleph and the war with Shaul and Amalek. And B'Sefer goes on Megillas Esther. So you see that Megillas Esther is Shrichali Kasev. So that's the Shita that Megillas Esther is meant to be written down. But Rabbi Shua says no, Ksov Zos is going in Sefer Shemos, Zikaron, Sefer Devarim. So those count as two separate ones. But Sefer is going on Sefer Shmuel. So Megillas Esther is not Ali Kasev. You only read it Bal Peh, but it's not meant Ali Kasev. It's not meant to be written down. It's only meant to be given over Bal Peh. So it's supposed to be read, but it could be read Bal Peh. So those are the two Deyas. So if you hold like that second Deya, that it's not Ali Kasev, what does it mean that Esther was Sof Kalanisim? So Mukim La, Karevi Binyam Bar Yefes. Now he'll explain the pasuk of Ayelas Hashachar to be going like Rabbi Binyam Bar Yefes Amar Ablazer. Dam Rabbi Binyam Bar Yefes Amar Ablazer. Lamanim Shlu Tfilas and Shel Tzadikim Kayelas. Why are the Tfilas of Tzadikim considered like an Ayelas? That the Shachar is a lashon of Tfila. So the pasuk is telling me that the Shachar, that the Tfilos are like an Ayelas. So Lamal Chama Ayelazu Kolzman Shemegadelas Karneh Mafzilos. Just like this Ayelah, as it grows up, its horns spread out even further. Av tzadikim kol zman shemar b'tfila tfilas nishma'as. So to tzadikim, the more they daven, the more their tfila is going to be heard. Their tfila is going to be able to have a greater impact if they daven more and more. It's not like you daven once and then Hashem doesn't respond to the tfila. Okay, so that's it. No, Moshe Rabbeinu had communion v'eschanan. He davened. Tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell him to stop, because if he davens one more time, then he's going to have to grant his tfila. So you see that continuing to bang down the doors of Shemayim has an impact to David more and more and more. A person doesn't give up on tefillah. The Marashah just points out that the Gemara didn't ask why the tefillah at tzaddikim is compared to Ayelas. We're trying to explain why Esther is nimshala l'shachar. So we're answering the wrong question over here, right? That was, I mean, we said shachar. Why was Esther nimshala l'shachar? Because she was sov kol anisim, not the Ayelas part. The Ayelas part we understood that she was chaviva tachashverosh, right? So we're answering the wrong question. The question we were stuck with was if she's not really Sof Kala Nisim, because there were Nisim that happened after Esther. There was Chanukah that happened after Esther. So the Marsha says it must be telling us that just like the Pasuk of Ayelas HaShachar could be, the Ayelas Mashal could be explained to be talking about Tzadikim, so too the Shachar could be explained to be talking about Tfilas and Shal Tzadikim, and it's not necessarily about Esther being Sof Kala Nisim, because otherwise we're really answering the wrong question. Okay, says the Gemara, now back to our original discussion. So the Mishnah had said that because they got confused with the sunlight and the moonlight, they shechted the carbon tamid, and then they brought the Kohen down to the base of Tevila, the Mishnah says. So the Gemara is going to assume right now that what happened was that when the Mishnah says that they brought the Kohen to the Kohen Gadol to the base of Tevila, that's a continuation of that story of when they got confused. That because they got confused, they shechted the carbon tamid too early, and then they brought the Kohen to Tevila. That's not the way we read the Mishnah, because it's not the correct pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to come to the correct pshat in the Mishnah, is bring the Kohen Gadol to the Beis HaTfilah, is just continuing the Seder Ayom. Meaning we were going through, why is it that they had to scream Barkai, and they had to go up on the rooftop and see when the sunlight arrived? Because they needed to have clear view of the sunlight, in order that they shouldn't get confused, because one time there was a confusion, and they checked at the top of too early. Okay, now that we got that, let's continue with the Seder Ayom. The Kohen Gadol goes to the Beis HaTfilah, the Chulei, right? But at this point, the Gemara is assuming that the Kohen Gadol going to the Beis HaTfilah has something to do with the confusion that they had about when to shech the Karban Tamid. So Amos, what happened with the sun and the moon? When was this exactly that they made this mistake? If it was not Yom Kippur, lo sagid lav Kohen Gadol, why does Kohen Gadol have to go to the Beis HaTfilah then? The Kohen Gadol is not the one that has to shech the Karban Tamid. The Ritva says, how do you know that it had to be the Kohen Gadol? Maybe Ma'aseh Shoyu Kachaya, that the Kohen Gadol happened to have been Oved that day. So he says, no, the Tana would not have told me that Inyan Dafka about a Kohen Gadol, would not have emphasized that it was a Kohen Gadol if it had nothing to do with the Kohen Gadol, if it wasn't something that was really unique to the Kohen Gadol, if it would have just been about whatever Kohen was working that day and it just happened to be the Ma'aseh Shoyu related to the Kohen Gadol. Ella B'Yom HaKippurim. Now the Ma'aseh must have happened in Yom HaKippurim. Well, Me'aral Avonim Iko, well, we already discussed yesterday. That early in the month, they never would have gotten confused between the Aral Avana and the Arachama. They're nowhere near each other. So it can't be that it was on the 10th day of a month. That's way too early in the month. So the Gemara explains, really, the mistake that they made was not in Yom Kippur. It was at the end of some month that the Aral Levana was close to the Amura Shachar. And at the beginning of the Mishnah, the Mishnah is telling us the Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim and how the Mamuna has to have this whole conversation and how they would check from the rooftops to see the first rays of light. And the Mishnah explains, why do they have to check? Because otherwise there would be some confusion. So Achi Kamar, Yom HaKippurim and on Yom HaKippurim, now we're going back to the daily schedule of Yom HaKippurim. Ki Amar, Barak, Barkai, Haridu, Kohen Gadol, Beis HaTevila. After we tell us why we have to check up on the rooftops, because sometimes there could be confusion about these things, now we go back to reporting what happened on a regular Yom Kippur. So we tell the Mishnah tells us that the Kohen Gadol would be brought to the Beis HaTevila. Now, once we mentioned in the Mishnah that the Tamid that shechted at nighttime has to be burnt, right? Because that was the confusion. They thought it was already morning, and it wasn't, and they shechted the Karban Tamid too early, and now it was Yotzei LeBeis HaSreifa, so now we're going to discuss other avodos, that what happens if they happen at night. Tani Avod Rabbi Yavin, lo zo bilvad amru, it's not only the shechita of the Karban Tamid at night that's going to be possible, ela af malika sa'ofu k'mitzas mincha b'layla tisareif. Even if you do malika of an oaf, which is akin to shechita, but they would do malika from the back of the neck of the bird, or a kemitza of a karban mincha, which is also a similar avoda to shechita. Just by karban mincha, there's no shechita, so we do kemitza. So if you do those things at night, they also become pasul, and they also have to be burnt. So bishlam olas ha'of ma'ida havahava. I understand, says the Gemara, why it is that by malika ha'of, if you do it at night, it's going to be pasul, and there's no way to fix it because you can't put the bird back together again. Ela komets, but when it comes to kmitza of a mincha, isn't there an etza? Shouldn't there be a better way to solve the problem? Nehadra v'nehader v'nikmet sabiyamama. Why don't you just take the komets, put it back in the kli, take a new komets when it's daylight out. You took the kmitza at night, that counts as nothing because it's puzzle, you're not allowed to do kmitza at night. Good, if it counted as nothing, you're in good shape. You can undo it. Put the kmitza back into the kli and take a new kmitza. So hutani lavu amrla. The father of Rabbi Avin is the one that taught it, that he brings this, and he's also the one that is mitarets this brisa. That kli sharis, it's not that you did nothing. Kli sharis are mekadshin afilu shelo bezmano. When you take the kmitza, you put that kmitza, the komets that you took out of the karban mincha, and you put it into a kli sharis. Once you put it into a kli sharis, it becomes kadosh, even if you did it at night, even if it was shelo bezmano. And once it becomes kadosh, that which remains in the original kli is shirayim. So from shirayim, you can't mix the kmitza, which is kadosh, back into the shirayim. So you can't be komets the mincha the second time, right? If a person is mafresh chala, for example, right? They're mafresh chala from an isa, and then they put it back into the dough. So that's a problem. You can't say, okay, so I'll be mafresh chala again. It doesn't work that way. You can't just be mafresh chala again. The chala has kedusha. It has the din of truma, the dough as a din of chulin. So you can't just, it doesn't all just become tevel when you put it back together. Now you haven't tarot this. You're not able to just do that. So if you have the kmitza that actually has kedusha, you can't just throw it back in with the shirayim. It's not going to work. Just agav, if you ever have that situation, I just had a shayla last week where someone did that by accident, where their mafshchal put it back in the dough. So what we do is we're matir neder, we're shoal on the hafrasha. We're matir neder on the original hafrasha. You get a basin of three people together, and they thought it was such a, they videoed it, the whole thing, they were very excited about this. They got a couple of neighbors over, and the woman did a she'ela on the hafrasha, so she undoes the hafrasha meyikara. So if you're able to do that, but you can't do that with the kmitza, once it's already put into a klisharis, it already has its kedusha. So meisve, so ask the Gemara, Zaklal, that they're asking on Rabbi Yavin's father, who says that a klishari says mekadesh afilu shlobizmano, that there's a brisa that tells us that zaklal, that when you place something in klishares, l'kol akariv biyom, whatever is supposed to be brought during the daytime is kadosh biyom. It only gains kedush saguf by being put into a klishares during the daytime. V'kol akariv belayla kadosh ben biyom ben belayla. But that which could be kariv even belayla can be kadosh both biyom and belayla. But katani mias kol akariv biyom kadosh biyom. Don't you see explicitly that anything that's karav biyom can only become kadosh biyom? So don't tell me that because they took the kmitza at night and they put it into a klisharis, it already had its kedusha at night. It doesn't. It would only have kedusha during the day. Says Mar, no, dilma eino kadosh li karev aval kadosh li pasal. Maybe if you take a kmitza and you put it into a klisharis at night, it's not kosher to be hukrav as a karban, but it's kadosh enough to apostle through its kedush saguf. So since you were kametz belayla and you put it into a kli, now you can't put the kametz back into the original kli and redo the kmitza because it's kadosh enough that it becomes pasul. So now the Gemara brings a kasha. Masav Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera challenges this din that the kli sharis is mekadesh shelo bizmana to at least pasul, because the Mishnah discusses the following situation. Seder salechem v'sebezichin achar Shabbos. Halacha is you're supposed to be mesadeh the lechem upon him on the shulchan, and the bezicha levona, the two spoons of levona on the shulchan on Shabbos, you leave it on the shulchan the whole week, and then you remove it the next Shabbos. What if you missed it? You did it on Sunday. V'hikter is a bezichin b'Shabbos, and you remakter the bezichin on the following Shabbos. Psula, the marach is pasul, because you have to be mesadeh the lechem and the bezichim on Shabbos in order that it stays there for 7 days. If you did it on Sunday, it didn't have 7 days, so it's a mechusus man. So Ketzad Yasus, if you messed up and you put the lechem upon him and the bezicha levon on the shulchan on Sunday, what taka should you do? How do you fix it? Yanichenu l'Shabbos haba, leave it there for 13 days. Make it go through the next Shabbos. Shafilu amda al shulchan yom rabbi mein mekachlum. Because even if it stays on the shulchan for a long time, that's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a psul. Vamai, why would that be kosher to leave it there for such a long time? Tiktosh v'tipasel. Shouldn't we say that it becomes kadosh and becomes pasul? Because since according to Rabbi Avin's father, a klishari says mekadesh shelo bezmana enough to pasul something. So let the shulchan be mekadesh lechem in order to pasul it at least on the Sunday that you put it there, and therefore when the lechem was on the shulchan on the Sunday, it becomes kadosh right away, at least kadosh enough to pasul it. So shelo bezmana, it should be pasul. How can you salvage it by just leaving it there for an extra week? So amarava mand kamosiv shapir kamosiv, that you're asking good, meaning that you're right, that Mishnah seems to be very much against the father of Rabbi Avin. The avud Rabbi Avin nami masnisa kamar. Thing is, you can't. Rabbi Avin's father had a brisa that supported him as well. So he wasn't saying this as something from the Amoraim. If it was something from the Amoraim, you're right, you would have a Mishnah against him. But the Kasavar, the Tana that Rabbi Avin's father was quoting, holds that a mincha becomes possible because of the kmitza at night, because Laila ain't mechusar zman. Laila, as far as things that the ikr zman is the following day, Laila is not considered to be a mechusar zman, and therefore the Laila has the ability to be mekadish. But yom mechusar zman. If you do it on the wrong day, like days in advance, so then it's already a mechusas man, and therefore doesn't have any kedusha. So by the lechem apanim that was placed on the shulchan on Sunday, and the zman for that is not until 6 days later, till Shabbos, the shulchan won't be mekadesh at all. But if you took a kmitza at night, where the ikr zman was the next morning, so then that's not considered mechusas man because it's on the same Jewish calendar day. So says Gemara, according to that reason, that the lechem does not become possible right away, because it's not miskadesh b'shulchan when it's put on an earlier day, but kimati be'shimshi tiktosh v'tifsal, when Ben Hashmashos comes of that Shabbos, of that Friday night, so then the shulchan should make the lechem kadosh on that Friday night, and then it should become pasul the next morning. So it still shouldn't work to leave it on the shulchan for 13 days, because on the night before you're agreeing that the klei shares have the ability to be mekadesh enough to pasul it. So on the night before, that Shabbos where it actually needs to go on the Shulchan. It's already there, so it should be possible. So Ravina Shekadam Silko, you're right. It has to be to a medical case where you removed it before Shabbos began. Even if you didn't, that since it was placed on the table in on the Shulchan at the totally wrong time, it's as if a monkey had placed it on the Shulchan. Maisa Kof is a halachic expression. It means that it never had a real Maisa Hanacha on the Shulchan. So we said that the klal in the Mikdash was... let's just explain that a little bit. That is, Maisa Kof, as if the lechem was put without any das, and that's not called the nesina of the lechem at all. So the lechem is not able to become kadosh even when the zman arrives if the maisa that got the lechem onto the table doesn't count as a real maisa. So it's only when the kohen takes the lechem off of the shulchan and puts it on the right time, in the morning on Shabbos itself, then it becomes kadosh ala shulchan, and that's why it doesn't become possible. But when you take a kemitza from a korban mincha belaila, laila is not mechusar zman. Since it's the night before, it's already the same Jewish calendar day. So your nesina into the klisharis is a valid nesina. So it becomes kadosh bekli, and memela the korban mincha is going to be pasul. So that's the distinction between a kemitza that's taken at night, where it's going to pasul the whole thing, and the lechem apanim that's placed on the shulchan on a Sunday, where it's not going to pasul all of the lechem. And if you just leave it there for 13 days, you will be able to use it on the following Shabbos. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots, three lines from the bottom of the page. Have a good day.
Have a nice one. Thank you. Bye. Thank you.